T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
O'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. A reminder, coming up around 11:50, we will head out to Arrowhead, and you'll hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid, along with Patrick Mahomes, perhaps some other players as well. But we know Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, right here on your official broadcast partner for the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. And of course, you can listen to the Super Bowl on the Chiefs Radio Network as Mitch Holthus, Danon Hughes, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel will have the call over on our sister station, 106.5 The Wolf. And Danon Hughes joins us right now, as he does every Thursday. And hopefully, Dan, we'll get you on site. We'll get to do this in person next week from Glendale.
Absolutely, man. It's going to be a blast. I mean, to think about, you know, 3 Super Bowls in 5 years, and 5 AFC championships, and everything that's around this game, Kelce Bowl, Sirianni, Andy Reid. I mean, you guys, I'm sure, have gone through the list of why this game is so exciting, and obviously it's important. So, yeah, I'll be around and looking forward to all the excitement out there, man. It's going to be a blast.
What is the, you mentioned some of the storylines, like what is the one that you're actually truly most interested or excited for, other than the obvious, like just the Chiefs and Mahomes finding a way to win the game, but what actually stands out the most to you?
I like the Kelce Bowl thing. I think it's, you know, when you think about the timing of their podcast, this year being the first year, both of those guys being all pro, and you know, the nature and how we've gotten to this point as well as they did. I feel like that's a great storyline, and they got, you know, incredible personalities. It would have been really cool if one of them played defense, because then that would be awesome. But at the same time, I think it's just a really cool storyline, and, you know, it just adds a little extra juice to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I think that's probably the one that jumps out to me. You know, I think the world of Andy Reid and the fact that he brought that organization to a Super Bowl, he, you know, broke the record this year in regards to the wins and playoffs and et cetera, and now bringing this organization to another Super Bowl, that's probably a close second. But, yeah, I think it's just awesome that we'll be able to match up like this and have fun out there in the desert.
Danon, as someone who has 3 competitive brothers, I can't imagine losing that kind of battle. The amount of trash you'd hear for the rest of your life, Danon. Oh, God, it would hurt.
Oh, absolutely. And you have to believe that, I mean, you would be talking about trash talk that you would probably have at Thanksgiving,
yeah,
and Christmas and internally. But those guys are going to have trash talk externally too, so it's not just going to be about when they have family gatherings. Like, they got a podcast,
yeah,
that they're going to be able to talk about. So,
oh,
could you imagine,
man,
the first episode next year after this game, and how that's going to unfold, and like who's going to have to bite their tongue and just grin and bear it type of mindset to be on the podcast and know that at any moment through the entire season next year, that other person can just throw it in your face, no matter what. Like, if they have a guest on and they get talking about the Super Bowl, imagine, like, the words that'll come out of Travis or Jason's mouth if they're the winner.
It'll be bad. It'll be really bad. Danon, you know, we've got a lot of time to start looking at some of the matchups, but the one that stands out the most to me is, I feel like Orlando Brown Jr. has to have his Chris Jones game. Like, they need him. They need him to play, yeah, his best the way they needed Chris Jones to play his best against Cincinnati, because the way that pass rush works and the way all of this buildup for Orlando Brown Jr. and his contract and all this stuff works, this needs to be his moment in my mind.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing. I think we've been a little bit harsh with Orlando Brown Jr. I think there's been like super high expectations, and he's really done a solid job. Now, having said that, I'm not saying that he's been flawless, but when you consider the overall, in totality, the offensive line, how they've done this year, run game as well as pass game, and Orlando Brown, yeah, there's been times where he's been blown by, but that's happened to a lot of teams. You look at the Philadelphia Eagles. They, you know, Jalen Hurts played two less games than Patrick Mahomes, and he's been sacked, what, 41 times?
Yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes playing two more games, has only been sacked 29. So, like, we have to recognize that although, like, Jalen Hurts is, some people would say, more mobile than Patrick Mahomes. So you got the more mobile quarterback getting sacked more versus the lesser mobile quarterback with supposed offensive line issues getting sacked less. So I feel like there's been a little bit of a stigma put on Orlando Brown Jr. that I don't know is warranted in totality. Yeah, he gets beat once a game or something like that, and Patrick has to make some magic happen. But for the most part, he's been solid. So, yeah, it would be great, especially against his defensive front, for Orlando Brown to have the Chris Jones game of the AFC Championship. But I think if he just plays his game and we just don't compound any mistakes, I think we'll be fine.
We're talking to Danny Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. Of course, you'll hear him on the call of the Chiefs Radio Network. Also, Players Only tonight, 6 o'clock here on 610 Sports Radio. I look at the running game for Kansas City. We know against Cincinnati, Isaiah Pacheco in the rushing attack, it was, you know, a combined, what, 35 yards or so, maybe just around 40 yards, I should say. But they were able to be involved in the passing game. Pacheco certainly was. Against Philadelphia, how important do you think the run game is? Because we were looking at some trends. The Chiefs, weirdly, are actually 6-2 when they're held to 50 rushing yards since 2018, whereas like every other team that's held to 50 yards, they're combined 599-1. So is it just that the Chiefs doesn't matter for them?
Yeah. You know, I try to keep it as simple as possible, guys. And I know, you know, Josh is, you know, he's been the advocate for run game, run game, run game. And he's been saying that for the 3 years that we've been doing the broadcast and probably even several years beforehand. And I'm not saying that he's wrong. But what I am saying, and I think it's pretty simple, every time we hand the ball off, the best player in the league does not have the ball. So if you're Eric Bieniemy, if you're Andy Reid, how often do you not want the best player in the league to have the ball? That's really what it comes down to. And a great compliment to our pass game. We're a pass team first, run game second. And that's how it will always be. And we have to live with that. But the other dynamic of, like, how often do you not want the MVP of the league to have the ball? Because that's where the run game comes into play. Also remember that, and I totally believe this, if you look over the landscape of every play of a 60 to 70 play game, there are pass plays that are like run plays. They're designed to stretch the defense, the bubble screens on the outside, the swing routes, the screens, et cetera. Now, they go down in the stats as pass plays, but those are really just extended run plays that we've seen. You know, the jet sweep versus the little shovel pass. Those are all the same. So it's kind of tough when you look at the numbers to say, well, we need to run the ball more or we need to commit to a certain run. Like, I feel like if we're up by two scores with 6 minutes left, guess what? We'll see a lot more run. Like, I mean, it's that simple. If we're down or we're even, then we're going to see a lot more pass because we're a pass-first team. So I try not to get totally caught up in the run plays and the exact amount of run plays and the yardage because I feel like there's other components of our offense that pretty much equate to the run.
Dana, from a legacy perspective, is this game bigger for Andy or Mahomes?
Great question. I'd probably say bigger for Patrick Mahomes just because I'd hate to have to go through another offseason and regular season speaking of Patrick Mahomes as if he is less than the superstar that he is and somehow gets shaded for an MVP award that he definitely deserves. But if he loses the Super Bowl, then all you have all offseason is talk about how Joe Burrow is still better, Josh Allen was hurt, Justin Herbert will be better, now Russell Wilson, because Sean Payton, I mean, you know, I can go through a whole list of what I already anticipate as knocks towards Patrick Mahomes if he loses this game. As far as Andy Reid, I think he's kind of cemented himself as one of the greatest one of the greatest coaches in league history, and having won Super Bowl already and been there multiple times, I feel like Patrick Mahomes would have to wear that stigma a little bit longer.
It does feel that way, especially because like I feel like everyone's already just kind of settled into what Andy is, one of the single greatest coaches of all time, and I don't think they're going to let the ring count hold him back as much. It's hard because Mahomes, I think it's just because he set a different standard for him, if that makes sense, Danen, because he's had the single greatest start for an NFL career ever, and to only have one Super Bowl during that time would feel like a big letdown for guys only like him.
Yeah. I can see this. But also, let's remember how many great coaches that are either in the Hall of Fame or we consider great coaches only have one Super Bowl. I mean, so there's a lot of those, just like there are quarterbacks. But most of those quarterbacks that we consider great, they only have one Super Bowl, but they probably only went to two, maybe three at the most. Like we talk about John Elway, well, he won two, but he went to multiple other ones where he got blown out. And so there are other quarterbacks like that. Marino, I mean, the list can go on of great quarterbacks that didn't necessarily, you know, get the job done every single year.
Peyton Manning only went to three. I mean, he's already at the same number.
I thought Manning went to four.
Or four. What? Maybe.
Yeah.
Four.
I mean, but remember what? You go 5 years. 6-7 years into Peyton Manning's career, and what was the dynamic? What was the, you know, what was the scuttlebutt about him? Like, would he be just like the Marino because he kept going against Tom Brady and falling on his face? So, like, I feel like this is important for Patrick Mahomes with all the questions, with the elevation of some of the younger talent out there, with the stumbling that we had against Joe Burrow in the past, you know, the last Super Bowl that we were in with him running for his life. I feel like this game would be great in regards to his legacy.
We saw yesterday the Chiefs put out their injury report, but it was just really kind of an estimation as practice hadn't happened. It will today. Out of the guys that were listed as DNPs or wouldn't practice, guys like Juju and Snead, and Kadarius Toney, like who concerns you maybe the most about their health and you're going to be watching the most this week and into next week?
I'd say Juju. I mean, I know he hasn't had a great postseason and he's been dealing with the injuries, but I just feel like he was a staple, a solid force for us throughout the season. Very consistent. He's a leading receiver from a receiving standard, receiving category. And I feel like he just brings that extra juice to this team physically. He's obviously garnered a lot of confidence from Patrick Mahomes and within this offense. So I think that would be a true detriment because then at that point, you, as far as bigger receivers, and you guys have heard me talk about the need for bigger receivers, you only have Marquez Valdez-Scantling if Juju is not 100%. And although it worked for us, for the most part in the AFC Championship, I just hate to go against the defense to the caliber of the Eagles with just that receiver as far as our bigger guy. So I'd say Juju, but I feel like everybody's going to be healthy. And it also brings me to a side note that I think it's ridiculous in the NFL that you have inactives for the Super Bowl. Like I think it's ridiculous that you have inactives during the regular season anyway. Like, if you got 52 guys that are eligible, why put five of them down on game day to be inactive? You got to still pay them. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense, never has. And obviously, I wouldn't be surprised if the NFL looks at that, especially from the quarterback standpoint, when you had to deal with the issues with the 49ers. Like, that's a black mark on the NFL that you actually have viable quarterbacks that are just in baseball caps and on the sideline because of this number that you have to have for each game. So, and then at the Super Bowl, like, I remember my rookie year, and I think back that if we would have won the AFC championship against Buffalo, the way Marty was as a coach and how he loved the veterans and stuff like that, I'm not trying to make it seem like I would have been expendable, but I wonder if I would have been deactivated for the Super Bowl. And having to have your family, you're paying for your family to go out, you're buying tickets for your family and everything else, and then on game day, not before, but on game day, somebody comes and taps on your shoulder and says, hey, you're deactivated. Like, it doesn't make any sense at all for the NFL not to have everybody active for the playoffs, for the Super Bowl, and I'd even say for the regular season.
Dan, it's kind of why I felt bad that Chris LeMond's got claimed. It was like, you know he can't play for your team, and now you know he can't play for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. It kind of stunk.
Yeah, I mean, and the problem is he had no real control over that because he gets claimed, and as long as they don't put him immediately on the practice squad, he has to go to that team. And I think I'd like to believe that Brett Veach probably had in his mind that he was going to pull him back and pull him back onto the roster had he cleared waivers, and now he's out of luck, you know, and that's unfortunate for him.
No question. Dana, appreciate it as always, man. We'll listen tonight, 6 o'clock players only, and then we'll see you out in Arizona next week.
Sounds like a plan, fellas.
There you go. Former Chiefs wide receiver Dana Hughes, of course, part of the call for the Super Bowl on the Chiefs radio network. Mitch Holthus will be with Josh Klingler, Dana Hughes, and Dan Israel, and all those guys going to be out in Arizona next week, and you'll hear them not only on this show, but across the station all next week as we'll be live out in Glendale. Going to be a ton of fun. Looking forward to it. He makes a good point about the inactives. It actually is kind of ridiculous. Like, especially
like
for the Super
you
Bowl.
You make 53-man rosters, and you're like, only 50 of them can come. You're like, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. Why just, like, two less? Like, if you made it 45 or something, it would make sense. But, like, why set a roster number and then only set a certain number of those guys who are allowed to be active on game day? It's weird.
Yeah, and as Dana says, like, you're paying them. It's not as if because they're inactive, you don't have to pay them. Like, you're paying them. So what is it? Well, there's not enough room on the damn sideline? No. So, like, what is
NFL's weird. They just decided that was the reason, and they stuck with it. Who the hell knows?
I do think Dana's right, though, because of what happened in the Niners where they ran out of quarterbacks. I do think stuff like that has to happen, unfortunately, in the league for them to make changes. We see this happen all the time, where you have to, unfortunately, terrible circumstances have to happen for rules to change. I mean,
we should all get 3 quarterbacks for the NFC title game. Thanks.
Absolutely. So I hope that is something that they do change.
They put a quarterback back out there, Gold, who had a torn UCL. He couldn't throw. He couldn't throw a football. Honestly, I still don't know. Like, they were making a point. I think it was like social media at the time, but one of their wide receivers was like a 5-star recruit out of high school as a quarterback. You're like, you're better off with him than Brock Purdy right now.
Yeah, I mean, I would have just continued to earlier in the game anyway, gone with just Christian McCaffrey and just run the, you know, basically a wildcat type option and have him run the option a little bit. That seemed like they were up against it against the Eagles anyway.
It's funny. I was going to like, should I go back and watch that to get a sense of the Eagles? Like, no, that game's a
wash. You can't judge him off of that game. Go back and watch some of the earlier games if you really want to dive deeper into what Philadelphia actually is as a football team. Don't forget, coming up at 11:50, we're heading out to Arrowhead. You're going to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes right here on 610 Sports Radio. But let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
All right, so I'm 32. Cody's age is up in the air. We think he's
up 40. In the air.
We
think, I'm 38.
We think he's 45, 38. We're not sure. Nick is 31, soon to be 32. And this is probably more directly an option for you, given A, your salary, but also your age.
Oh, okay.
Let me just read you the headline.
It's a double dip.
It says, how to be 18 years old again for only $2 million a year.
Excuse me?
That's it? Just $2 million a year. So there's a middle-aged tech centimillionaire, whatever the hell that is.
I don't know what that means.
Cent is 10, right?
So, but why don't we just say million? Why are we calling him that? Why is he just? Anyway, not important.
Get 10 mil.
Okay.
He's going to run out of money.
A centimillionaire is a person whose net worth is over $100 million.
Ah. That makes more sense. All right. Brian Johnson's his name. He has a team of 30 doctors. That's why it's $2 million.
30?
They have a plan that's working to reboot his body. He's 35 years old, and they're putting him through this plan. He's paying $2 million a year, and it's getting him to where his body is actually decreasing in age. It's going down from 35 slowly towards eventually 18 years old. And some of these treatments, like they're going, it talks about, he says he wants to have the brain, heart, lungs, liver, kidneys, tendons, teeth, skin, hair, bladder, penis, and rectum of an 18-year-old.
Really skimmed past those last two.
Whoa! What were those last two?
Penis and rectum.
Okay.
I don't know why you want a rectum of an 18-year-old.
So it says.
Honestly, do you have fond memories of when you were 18? You're just like, man, dynamite stuff. Dude, there. It was the best time of my life from
says
that perspective.
He eats, so he's not quite on the Sam Stevie food plan. He eats almost 2,000 vegan calories a day.
Okay.
Exercises every day. And each month he endures dozens of medical procedures, including blood tests, MRIs, ultrasounds, and colonoscopies.
Is it working?
He says that here's what his doctor says. Jeff Toll, who is an internist.
Let's get this guy on at Radio
Row. He says, all the work has started to pay off. Johnson's body is, as they measure it, getting medically younger.
Okay, there's just no way this is true. Do you look at this guy?
I believe it's true.
Like, anytime I'd be like, this guy's a medical marvel, and I look at him, I'm like, I don't think so. Like, I've seen what Giannis looks like without his shirt. There's guy is the medical
you've
marvel,
seen Silicon,
okay?
You've seen Silicon Valley, right? They have, you know, blood boys in Silicon Valley. Do you think this guy has a blood boy?
Definitely.
I mean, if you're trying to get younger, I would think having the blood of an 18-year-old would go a long way in remedying that. Yes.
Cody,
the real question, are you willing? That's what I was going to ask you. Are you willing to spend $2 million
a year? I don't have the cash, but we know that with your exorbitant salary, this is sort of in your tax bracket.
I don't think 18 is an age I want to be again.
Well, he's just saying, not like mentally. He's saying physically, he wants to feel that way.
I don't think.
Cracking.
Yeah,
his
joints are. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
That's what he's going after.
Doesn't have a super bone. Now I had that when I was 18. It just was less problematic. Bad news, by the way. Foot's hurting today.
Oh
no!
Guess what we get to hear about the whole week in Phoenix. The whole week in Phoenix.
Pretty bad timing for three people who are getting ready to go out of town. The foot.
Cody.
Not doing great today. I'm gonna need treatment. Like Mahomes and his ankle.
Geez.
I'm gonna need a lot of treatment over the next 3 days.
There's gonna be a lot of walking in Phoenix, and you're telling me by Wednesday your foot's done?
I can't be sure.
Did you read the quote from the article? It says this is from the doctor that says he treats athletes and Hollywood celebrities.
Yeah.
Did you read that quote?
Yeah.
Okay. That he says he's putting in more work than LeBron James.
And Novak Djokovic and all these guys were getting stem cell treatment. It does say that his goal is to prove through biostatistics a reduction of aging of 25% across all 78 organs by 2030.
Well, he's got to work on the heart because they said his heart was older than his actual age. So he's doing all of this, and I don't know, the most important one, the heart.
Well,
he's actually aging in a worse direction.
It turns out I don't think they can make your heart younger. That might be the one.
But the rectum and the colon and the penis, that should be fine.
Yeah, that's good to go, I guess, for him.
Imagine if that's the only one that works. He's like, everything else is declining, but I have the colon of an 18-year-old.
It all works so great.
And the BMs are fantastic.
What does he say? Like, if he's, I don't know, does it say if he's married or not? I'm guessing no. But if he's out and he's dating or whatever, and he's going on dates and he explains this to, they're going to think you're an absolute freak.
They say he's got 5% body fat and he's super healthy
and
all these things.
I've seen the photo of him.
He looks like he has the skin of a slug.
Oh, man.
Let's try this part,
this is
though.
Weird.
We can't do
it. His doctors say he has the gum inflammation of a 17-year-old.
What
the hell?
Okay, so guys, let's do this. Okay, we can't do all this. We can't afford all this. But what we can do is maybe just pick and choose. How about this part? Each morning, wakes up at 5 a.m., he takes 2 dozen supplements and medicine.
Okay.
That's expensive.
So, he's about ginger root, liver enzymes, micro doses lithium, he says, for brain health. Then he works out for an hour, 25 different exercises. Then he takes a green juice packed with creatine, cocoa flavanols, collagen peptides, and other goodies throughout the day. He eats some solid-ish foods, such as broccoli, cauliflower, mushrooms. And then he brushes his teeth. He water picks and flosses before rinsing with tea tree oil and applying an antioxidant gel.
He waits 2+ hours after being awake to brush his teeth. This guy, Mr. Health Freak, waits,
okay, this is
the
best part. Best part, guys. There is a regimen and series of measurements for every part of his body. He's taken 33,537 images of his bowels.
Oh my God.
He has discovered, this is information. These biostatistics are incredible. He has discovered that his eyelashes are shorter than the average probed and thickness of his carotid artery.
His eyelashes?
Cardigan.
His eyelashes.
Okay.
He blasts his pelvic floor with electromagnetic pulses to improve muscle tone in hard to reach places, if you know what I'm saying.
Pelvic floor?
Dude, this photo of him.
When's the last time you
There's no way it can be this.
Where you really paid attention to your pelvic floor,
it's been
Gold.
Pelvic floor, who knew?
Been a while. You know who I think should pay attention to the pelvic floor? Mecole Hardman. He should work on that for the next week and a half.
What's his dream? To just be able to show up to high school one day and be like, what's up, kids?
No, he wants to do what the 23-year-old assistant basketball coach did for the 13-year-old basketball team yesterday.
Just live out his dream.
It's going to be a real bummer for this guy when he's 51 and he has the gums of a 21-year-old and he dies in like a car crash.
I was just thinking the same thing. I was thinking plane crash.
And freak accident gets him.
Yeah, he's just like jaywalking one day and gets plowed by a semi.
hopefully he's an organ donor then, I guess, is what you're saying at that point.
But God,
if you get that guy's organs,
you're set.
And you're like a Terminator.
And you didn't have to pay the $2 million a year.
I think he didn't. Doesn't it say in this article that he's like basically cryogenically freezing all his organs?
This guy's weird. We've established this already.
No, come on, Gold.
Just a little weird, you know.
Forward thinking.
What gives you that idea?
Cody's all for it, I think, but it's a little weird.
Show fund?
$2 million.
Heroes.
A lot of heroes. 2 million heroes. I feel like last time we were asking for 500 heroes. Slightly different request.
Will this guy be at Radio Row?
Honestly, if he was, we would have to book him for the show. So many questions. If you told me we got an email that said he was available for interviews, tell him whatever time slot he needs. If he needs it Monday at 10 a.m., first interview of Radio Row, he can have it.
Dude, you know what? This text line brings up a great point. This guy's spending $2 million a year to have the physical fitness of an 18-year-old. Meanwhile, Rob Collins just does it the old-fashioned way.
RC50.
And that guy's and Rob's a decade older than this guy.
RC50 might cost you $450 a year.
Yeah.
Tops! Dude. Tops!
I would love to see those two guys compete in a triathlon.
I think Rob Collins should do... He's gonna be busy, but he should do Radio Row interviews and announce that he's got his own fitness plan, RC50. And he should just go and see if he can get some interviews and try to sell some products. I bet you it could happen.
Let's actually send, if Rob, can we
send, can we send a PR email as if we're promoting
yes,
Rob Collins?
And then we'll send Nick around as his PR guy and see how many shows we can get him on.
Yeah, RC50. That'd be a great
promoting
bit.
RC50.
Dude, if I just acted like I was Rob Collins' handler and I booked him on a bunch of shows to just talk about like physical wellness.
Hey, Rob Collins also a life coach, which he could pass for that as well.
Dude, that'd be such a good bit.
That would be very good. But Rob Collins is going to be there.
He's going to be very busy.
No, yeah, he told us he's sending Harold.
Yeah, but he's still going to be very busy.
We'll see if he can, you know, just pawn that work on off on someone else.
Good point. We're doing something. Somebody's getting
Rob. You know, Rob likes the bit. Rob likes a good bit.
He does.
So we'll pitch it.
All right, that's the trash of the day. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. Of course, we'll be heading out to Arrowhead to hear from Mahomes and Reed in a little bit. But who does it actually mean more for, Mahomes or Reed? We got our answer next.
There's Kelsey to the end zone.
Cody and Gold brought to you by Gann Asphalt and Concrete. For asphalt, concrete, and parking lot maintenance, Gann Asphalt and Concrete. One contractor, all things parking lot. Trusted in Kansas City since 1994. Online at gannasphalt.com. Don't miss the Chiefs Red Half Hour every day at 11:30. On your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Chiefs Kingdom, this is Mitch Holtis, and welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour on Cody and Gold, every day at 11:30 on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Show starts at the same time all the time, but Gold's not here. So back in here on Cody and Gold, 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com and the Odyssey app.
Is he okay?
And he's missing breaking news.
He's never done this. Oh, do it right, real quick.
Breaking news. Chiefs Super Bowl uniforms will be white on white.
Coke boys.
We knew that it was going to be the white tops because they sent out the teaser video, but now they're officially adding it up. It's going to be white on white.
Well, Eagles are doing
their best look, by the way. So
yeah, I see. The Eagles are doing all green, right? So we've got a little color rush edition of the Super Bowl.
Agreed.
Look who decided to show
Hi,
up.
Alex.
Thanks for joining us, Al.
I was talking to the boss. You know, very important conversations.
There's
you know?
No way it was
There's
important.
There's no way it was it that was, important.
It was guest-related for our show and other shows next week. It was.
Oh, for next week.
For our
so
radio
not,
row
So it
week.
Wasn't super important for this segment right
here. No, but it was
here.
Very important for Radio Row and our live coverage from Phoenix, which, by the way, if you guys haven't heard, we will be broadcasting every day live out in
What was so radio important row. That couldn't wait till after class?
I'm supposed to end my conversation with the boss, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know? Pretty much.
This yeah. show comes first.
Do you remember burying me for showing up late?
Yeah, I remember. For
like, and I was like 10 seconds late.
You were
you
in the bathroom,
like 2 minutes.
You were in the bathroom, though.
That's a much more better reason.
I agree. That's
actually,
an emergency.
The conversation with the boss, I mean, unless
okay,
you're...
Okay, you have to tell us now. You have to tell everyone now.
Tell the whole class.
Tell the whole class.
It was just we were having conversations about how long my betting show should be next week and guess.
Huh. That doesn't seem like it applies to Cody and I.
No, but it does for me and our
Well, guess what? You missed breaking news coming
what
back
happened?
From the break.
No, uniform's nope. officially been announced.
No, white you missed white. It. You missed it, man.
White on white. That's good. Better than the white on red. We're good. We're happy about this.
White on white's their best look.
It's clean. It's clean. Turns out Mahomes' trainer was correct earlier in the week when he was like, white on white, and everybody assumed he was like, he's like, I'm not reporting that.
He was just pretty well, and they'd already announced that it was a white top, so he had a 50-50 shot of getting right. Nope, white on yellow. We just decided for no reason, even though we've never worn yellow pants.
Yeah, the Chiefs are definitely winning now. That's what that means.
Ooh, interesting. Because the statistics, you don't talk about trends. Trends are not good for the white on white in the big games.
I know. Yeah, but they haven't had them in this big boy. Doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, it's official.
Cool. Now will the stores start selling the whites? I've had more people ask me where people from out of town, where can I get the white jersey with the Super Bowl patch on it? Because right now, if you go on Fanatics or these other sites, you can only find the gray uniforms, which, by the way, the Chiefs never wear. I don't get why do these sites initially sell gray Chiefs uniforms for the Super Bowl first? Like, that's the first jersey. And why would I buy a gray one? Now, go ahead and put those white ones on there. Give me that fresh, clean white look with the updated patch. I'll go ahead and take one of those, please. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we're glad you're back.
Thanks, man.
We're glad you got that sort of
with you. Do you guys ever wonder why nobody ever asks, like, nobody ever is rocking official, like, Chiefs pants to games? They always go with the jerseys.
Chiefs pants.
Like, nobody ever wants to wear the bottoms. We always talk about white on white, but nobody ever, they all want the tops. Nobody ever wants the bottoms.
Could you imagine if people were just wearing that?
It's also why baseball is, like, the dumbest sport for making them wear, like, the jersey outfit. Because if you do that in any other sport, like, if, it doesn't really matter. If Steve Kerr was just out there in like gym, you know, like in basketball shirts and a jersey, you'd be like, what are we doing here? Why is he wearing like a warm-up kit? It doesn't make any sense. Like, or in football, if Andy Reid had to wear the white jersey with a number on it and the pants, you'd be like, what are we doing?
Oh, man.
Why is he dressed like this?
By the way, that would be incredible.
Why is baseball the only sport sticking to?
It would be weird, but it would also be incredible in that scenario. If Nick Sirianni's out there wearing a number, you know, number 18 jersey or something, and he's got the full-blown pants, and he's wearing spikes, it'd be incredible.
Wearing spikes.
And then Andy, offensive lineman, just go back and wear his college number.
Why do you think baseball's sticking with it?
That's a great question.
They let him wear, like, pullovers now, at least. I remember for a while, like, they would, like, check under your jacket to make sure you're still wearing your jersey. What are we doing
just
here?
In case the manager needs to get out there on the field. It's the dumbest thing. I don't know why, man.
Just walk out in tennis shoes.
I agree with you. I don't get it. That does need a change.
Either baseball needs to change or every sport needs to adopt the opposite. pads and everything.
Something tells me baseball's the one that needs to change.
Nope.
I'll take the helmet.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr is still wearing a jersey on the sideline for the Warriors.
That would be the worst, seeing those pasty guys with their
loose skin.
They're gross. Doc Rivers is wearing potato salad arms.
Doc Rivers is wearing a damn Sixers jersey.
Dude, imagine Greg Popovich wearing a Spurs jersey. I don't think you want to see those shoulders.
Like just the gray, like white chest hairs popping out of the jersey.
Just alabaster skin.
And I like that they have to be similar length. So if you're like a soccer coach, you're like, that's like mid thigh and up. Like it's too much. Guy's like 66.
Yeah, the basketball coaches got to wear the jerseys from the era that they played in. So like John Stockton shorts.
In case you guys missed it, there has been some news out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, involving a super fan for the Chiefs. That's Chiefsaholic. And he is asking his bail to be released, to reduce, so he can be released, I should say. Remember, $200,000 is what he's being held on for allegedly robbing that bank in the Tulsa area. Well, he's asking his bond get reduced to $50,000 in time for him to meet bail and therefore watch the Super Bowl outside of a jail cell. That's his wish. That's what he's actually officially filed, and there's a chance it actually does happen. But the Chiefs have not lost since he's been in jail. And there's a lot of people on social media that think he needs to stay behind bars until the Super Bowl's
Is that what you want?
I think
do you want him out, or do you want him to stay behind bars?
I mean, if he can make bail, I think he obviously should get the hell out of jail. Yes, that's pretty simple to me. If he can actually afford the ability to get
You believe in the presumption of innocence.
I do.
So you think that, you know, if he can afford...
All I know is if they set a bail and you can meet that number, yes, I think that person should be able to get out of jail. For this kind of crime, allegedly, yeah. There's obviously some crimes where bail would not be a good idea. This was one of those where I think,
it is a violent crime. It is bank robbery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was it?
Unfortunately, never.
Was it a pellet gun? Is that what it was they said?
I don't remember. Yeah. We'll wait for the 30 for 30. Text line says keep his ass in jail.
Well, yeah, until the Chiefs lose, I mean.
Shouldn't he want that?
Him being locked up has been a good luck charm.
Also, he has a lot of money riding on them winning the Super Bowl.
Yes, he does. $100,000.
Like he wears a wolf costume to all the games, right? He's probably doing that because he's a superstitious individual. Seeing how they haven't lost a single game since he's been placed in jail, shouldn't he want to stay in jail in order to secure the win and get himself his bail money?
No. Anytime you can get out, I'm guessing. I can't speak from experience here like maybe you can, but I'm guessing you want to get the hell out of jail when you're in jail.
Mm.
I'm guessing.
That was just a few hours for me. I definitely want to get out.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
I definitely want to get out. I didn't get like a meal or anything. It was just like a holding cell.
How long has he been behind bars? Like a month?
I'd have to like really get like checked in.
It was the Texans week, right? When did they play the Texans? It's been a month. At least. He's been behind bars at least a month.
I mean.
Someone was wearing an ape costume a couple rows in front of me at the Chiefs. Cincy game on Sunday.
Honestly, it seems kind of practical when it's like, okay, well, that's not original
at all. You think that guy is a bank robber as well?
No. I mean, I don't know, maybe. What, we think just like all people who dress in costumes? That would imply that like Casey Wolf is also trying to knock banks off.
We know about him. We actually know who he is.
Yeah, we do.
We actually have.
Well-documented good dude.
Yeah, that's well-documented, as you said. So that's a little bit different.
I just think that... I don't think
so. Your final vote, you would say don't let him out. Leave him in jail forever until.
I think from a winning perspective, it's only wise to keep him in jail for now.
Hmm. Also, do you think fans will blame him?
Does he have the 50K? Like, if he gets lowered to 50, well, I'm asking.
Here's why you can do it.
Because 50K, you can get a loan shark.
Yeah, I think you only need 5K to meet the 50K. I think that's what it is.
Based on the amount of money he was throwing around in some of these things, you would think. Although he got a public defender, he's just got 5K laying around.
He doesn't have any money. Why was he robbing a bank? He doesn't have any money.
Dude, he had some money. He made those bets.
Right, but he might have been in so deep, man. He might have been in so deep that he couldn't get himself out.
I don't think he has legal money. He definitely had money. I wasn't planning on this being a big topic of the show, but I'm curious. I guess let us know. 913-586-7610. Do you think he should be let out?
The FBI.
If he can afford it.
I'm sure the FBI have tracked down and tried to figure out if those bets, those big $100,000 winnings that he has.
Taxman feels like to be after him, right? I feel like the IRS might have something to say about where all this money's coming from.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that the IRS is the least of his problems currently, though, considering he's being held on.
That's how they got Capone, dude. Are you sure?
I'm guessing in this case, yes, this is not nearly
That's a pretty good point by me, Nick.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that.
Okay, that just negates it being a good point.
You were looking at me like I was an idiot.
No, I wasn't. I was just looking at
that
you.
That was because they couldn't get Capone on other things, so they used that as a way to get him. This guy is being already held on robbery
yeah,
charges.
Yeah, and they got Capone because he had, like, what would be the present-day equivalent to, like, billions and billions of dollars that he wasn't paying taxes on. I don't think this guy's quite up to that level of notoriety.
Yeah, he's not Wesley Snipes either.
This isn't Babyface Nelson, you know?
How long did Wesley Snipes go away for?
I don't know. That dude had some major tax problems, Wesley Snipes.
We're not gonna use this as an opportunity to...
I like Wesley Snipes,
yeah,
you know?
To denigrate one of the great actors of our
taxes,
time.
He didn't file taxes between 99 and 04.
What's your favorite Wesley Snipes movie, Nick?
Blade.
Three-year prison sentence,
God, you get that so quick.
Or, what is it, U.S. Marshals?
Yes.
Is that the one that he's in? There's two movies that are, like, exactly the same. There's U.S. Marshals, and then there's...
I think U.S. Marshals. I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think my favorite's Undisputed, when he's in prison.
You just looked that
and
up.
And becomes a boxer. No, I've actually... I had to look up the name of the movie, but I've seen it. He, like, builds, like, a matchstick house, and he, like, trains to box, and, like, a heavyweight guy ends up in jail with him at the same time. He fights him in a big prison match.
Mm.
All right, coming up next, we're heading out to Arrowhead. We're going to hear from Andy Reid. And if Pete Sweeney asks Andy whether or not he wants Chiefsaholic to stay behind bars, we will all buy Pete Sweeney lunch next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.